Most people assume they'd recognize manipulation the moment it started, that they'd see the gaslighting, the love bombing, the control. But what if the danger doesn't come wrapped in cruelty, but in affection? What if the abuser makes you feel chosen, special, even crazy in love, before slowly isolating you, rewriting your memories, and making you question your sanity? Studies show emotional abuse leaves scars that are often deeper than physical ones. But here's what they don't tell you. The most dangerous manipulator doesn't need to raise a hand. They just need to make you doubt yourself. This story isn't just about theory. It's about the real survivors who walked away, and those who didn't. You'll hear the red flags they missed, the psychological traps they fell into, and how they finally reclaimed their power. You'll also learn the scientifically backed steps for breaking free from toxic control, even when the abuser is a parent, partner, boss, or friend. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Invisible Cage. How Manipulation Starts, 1.1. The Setup. Nobody recognizes. It doesn't begin with control. It begins with chemistry. The charm is intoxicating. You feel seen, chosen, elevated. I've never met anyone like you, he says. Or maybe it's, I feel like I've known you forever. These phrases are subtle, but they set the stage for what psychologists call idealization. It's a technique manipulators use to overwhelm your critical thinking with affection, compliments, and attention. Jasmine, a survivor of a 6-year emotionally abusive marriage, remembers the beginning clearly. He messaged me every morning. He sent flowers to my job on the second date. My friends said he was too much, too soon, but I thought they were just jealous. What Jasmine didn't realize was that she was being love-bombed. It felt like romance, but it was groundwork. The same way a spider spins its web while the prey thinks it's dancing. Within weeks, she was skipping plans with friends, staying in constant text contact, and altering her routine to accommodate him. He said he couldn't sleep if I didn't stay over, that he worried something might happen to me, she recalls. In isolation, these moments sound tender, but stack them together, and you see the pattern. Dependency by design. 1.2. The shift from adoration to control. Then the shift happens. It's rarely sudden. A sarcastic comment about your outfit. A joke that doesn't feel like a joke. Are you really going to wear that? That's just like your ex, isn't it? This is where gaslighting begins. Not in lies, but in subtle doubt. The manipulator starts to insert friction into your self-image. At first, it's framed as concern. Later, it becomes criticism. Jasmine's abuser told her she was too emotional when she cried. Then when she didn't cry, he called her cold and distant. Psychologists define gaslighting as a form of psychological warfare where the abuser rewrites reality to make the victim question their sanity. The term comes from the 1944 film Gaslight, where a man manipulates his wife into thinking she's losing her mind by dimming the gaslights in their home and denying it's happening. But in real life, it looks more like this. You're imagining things. You're overreacting. Why are you always so sensitive? Over time, victims begin to doubt their own perceptions. They apologize for things they never did. They keep secrets to avoid drama. They walk on eggshells, not out of fear, but out of confusion. And here's the insidious part. They often think they're the problem. 1.3. The emotional addiction. Nobody talks about manipulative relationships often form a trauma bond, a psychological state where the abused feels emotionally tied to the abuser through cycles of reward and punishment. Dr. Patrick Carnes, a trauma expert, describes trauma bonding as the chemical loop created by alternating abuse and affection. It works like this. The abuser explodes or withdraws. The victim feels abandoned and panics. The abuser returns with affection, sex, or apologies. The relief triggers dopamine, creating emotional addiction. It's like a slot machine, says Dr. Tara Dixon, a licensed therapist. The unpredictability keeps you hooked. You never know when the next hit of validation is coming. But when it does, it feels euphoric. This explains why so many victims stay, even when the abuse escalates. One survivor, Malik, stayed in a relationship with a partner who controlled his bank account, tracked his location, and insulted him during fights, but she also told him, "You're the only person who gets me," and he believed it. "She broke me down and then made herself the only person who could lift me back up," he said. 1.4. Cultural myths that keep us stuck. There's another reason so many people stay trapped in toxic dynamics. Society doesn't believe men can be victims, or that mothers can be abusive, or that friendships can be manipulative. We've been sold myths. If they're not hitting you, it's not abuse. But she's your mother. She loves you. He pays the bills, so what's the problem? These narratives silence survivors. According to a 2022 study from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men experience severe intimate partner violence. But emotional abuse is even more widespread and vastly underreported. Manipulation thrives in silence. It uses shame as a shield. And worst of all, it convinces the victim that they chose the pain. 1.5. Recognizing the red flags. So how do you know if you're in a manipulative relationship? Here are signs experts say should never be ignored. You feel guilty for saying no. You constantly second-guess your decisions. You hide things to avoid conflict. You feel like you can't do anything right. You've become isolated from friends or family. You feel addicted to their validation, even when it hurts. If more than 2 of these apply to your relationship, you're likely being manipulated. But acknowledgement is only the beginning. Chapter 2 will show you exactly how survivors escaped, and how you can too. Chapter 2, The Escape Plan, Rebuilding After Manipulation. 2.1. The moment they knew every survivor has a breaking point. For Jasmine, it was when her husband told her no one would ever love her the way he did, while standing over her, fists clenched after she'd cried for hours in the bathroom. "I looked in the mirror," she said, "and I couldn't see myself anymore. I saw a ghost." For Malik, it was realizing that every paycheck he earned disappeared into a joint account he didn't control. "I was making 6 figures and couldn't buy a sandwich without asking." The final moment often comes quietly. Not with a scream, but with silence. The numbness that signals the end of hope. But here's the hidden truth. Survivors don't escape because they stop loving the manipulator. They escape because they start loving themselves more. That shift, from fear to self-preservation, is the beginning of freedom. And the path to it is not just emotional, it's strategic. 2.2. Step 1. Break the fantasy loop. The hardest part of leaving a manipulative relationship isn't logistics, it's mental. Psychologists call it cognitive dissonance, the emotional tug of war between what you know and what you feel. "I knew he was hurting me," Jasmine admits, "but I still wanted him to apologize, to change, to love me the way he did in the beginning." This is the fantasy loop, the addiction to the idea that the person who broke you will be the one to fix you. To break it, survivors must grieve what never was. That means grieving the fantasy version of the partner, grieving the life you thought you'd have, grieving the old version of yourself who tolerated the abuse. Therapists recommend writing a goodbye letter, not to the person, but to the illusion. Name the version of them you wanted to believe, then bury it. Burn it. Delete it. Because until you stop bargaining with fantasy, you'll never build reality. 2.3. Step 2. Prepare for the withdrawal. Leaving a manipulative relationship triggers a real neurological withdrawal. MRI scans show that emotional abuse activates the same brain centers as drug addiction. That's why no contact feels like detox. "Your body craves the chaos," says Dr. Ana Marquez, a trauma-informed psychologist. "Even negative attention can feel better than nothing because your nervous system has been wired for survival, not peace. So when you leave, expect symptoms, obsessive thoughts, panic attacks, guilt spirals, the urge to call or explain. This is normal. It doesn't mean you made the wrong decision. It means your brain is healing." Survivors are advised to create a crisis toolkit, a list of emergency actions for moments of emotional relapse, a voice note to yourself explaining why you left a text from a friend reminding you of your worth, screenshots of abusive messages so you don't romanticize, a lockdown phone contact list, or blocking apps, you wouldn't quit heroin without support. Don't try to quit manipulation alone. 2.4. Step 3. Set boundaries that don't require permission. Manipulators hate boundaries because boundaries expose their powerlessness. When Jasmine left, her ex-husband showed up at her work. He cried in the parking lot. He called her family, claimed she was suicidal. "He made me feel cruel," she said, "like I was abandoning a child. But the truth was, he couldn't control me anymore, and he panicked. Boundaries aren't negotiations, they're declarations. Here's how to set them without loopholes. Be direct. Do not contact me again. Remove access. Block phone numbers. Change passwords. Disable shared GPS apps. Prepare for pushback. Manipulators escalate when control slips. Expect hoovering, fake apologies, smear campaigns, and guilt traps. Don't explain. You owe no justification to someone who violated your safety. And remember, no contact is not cruelty. It's CPR for your sanity. 2.5. Step 4. Reclaim your identity. After months or years of emotional control, survivors often forget who they are. Malik said, "I didn't know my favorite food anymore. She picked every restaurant, every vacation. I didn't even recognize my own taste." This is why recovery must involve self-reconstruction. Experts suggest journaling, daily prompts like, "What do I want today?" or "What did I believe before they taught me otherwise?" Mirror work, look yourself in the eye for 60 seconds and say, "I am safe, I am not crazy, I am enough." Reconnect with suppressed passions, music, hobbies, or friends your abuser pushed away. Therapy focused on CPTSD, complex trauma. Because this isn't just about a breakup, it's about emotional war wounds, and most importantly, stop apologizing for surviving. You didn't fail. You endured. 2.6. Step 5. Rewrite the rules for love. Here's the hard truth most survivors don't hear. If you don't relearn what love actually is, you'll repeat the cycle. That means confronting toxic beliefs like, if they're jealous, it means they care. Fighting all the time means passion. If I'm not needed, I'll be abandoned. Real love doesn't feel like adrenaline. It feels like safety. It's not. Obsessive texting, emotional whiplash, endless apology loops. It is mutual respect, calm accountability, freedom to be whole. Not half Jasmine now teaches workshops for survivors. Her mantra: if love requires you to shrink, it's not love. It's control in disguise. 2.7. Final note to the ones still inside. If you're still in the relationship, and this story feels like looking in a mirror, you're not broken, you're surviving. But here's what survivors need you to know. It's not your fault. You're not imagining it. It's not too late. You don't need proof. And love should never feel like fear. Whether you leave today, next month, or next year, know this. The moment you consider breaking free is the moment your freedom has already begun. You are not alone.